Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to 48 Hours ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. The Widows are back. Big Hair and Bigger Lies collide in Desperate Deadly Widows, the highly anticipated follow-up to Audible's best-selling Young Rich Widows, where nothing's more dangerous than a widow with nothing left to lose. Set in Providence, Rhode Island, 1987, 2 years ago, a plane carrying four law firm partners exploded, and so did the cushy lives of their once wealthy wives. Now, Crystal fights to keep their fallen law firm afloat. Justine hustles as a lawyer in training. Meredith owns and operates the strip club where she once danced, and Camille orchestrates honeypot schemes until one of her arrangements goes wrong, and she becomes implicated in the mayor's mysterious murder. With the widow's bonds now tested, will the women cement their friendships, or is loyalty a luxury they just can't afford? In this thrilling expansion of the widow's universe, Desperate Deadly Widows unfolds as an edge-of-your-seat thriller where desperation wears stilettos, trust is a poker chip, and redemption comes at the cost of everything you thought you knew. Visit audible.com/deadlywidows. To listen now. Need more mystery in your life? Well, an Audible membership can solve that. They've got the best selection of audio titles from every genre, including true crime, celebrity memoirs, business, and so much more. Audible is the ultimate destination for thrilling audio entertainment, which will keep you on the edge of your seat each month. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. I recommend newly released The Berman Murders by Doug Carey, a true crime saga set in the Mojave Desert. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500. That's audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/48hours.
Real people, real crimes, real life drama.
The Hudson River Valley is just outside of New York City. It's a beautiful place. There's all sorts of activities to enjoy on the Hudson. It's a great place to kayak. But the Hudson River needs to be respected. There's a number of very strong currents in the Hudson. The Hudson can be dangerous. On April 19th, late in the afternoon, Angelica and Vince go kayaking on the Hudson River. They were kayakers. They enjoyed the outdoors. They were outdoors enthusiasts.
You could tell that they were in love, that you saw the glisten in their eyes. He couldn't keep his hands off of her. He just loved her.
April 19th was one of the first nice days.
Milky skies, but otherwise nice this afternoon. High 66.
So they set out for what people call Bannerman's Island. And there's a castle on it that was modeled after the castles in Scotland. Shortly after 7 p.m., when they went to return home, things changed.
Clouds will thicken tonight, though, and it's going to get windy later on.
It was rough. We know that the waves are 3 to 5 feet.
Well, how high are you above the water right now?
Maybe 4 inches.
So if a 2-foot wave is coming across here, what's happening?
The wave's gonna come and just come right into my lap, and then over you'll go.
Midway through their paddle back to shore, Vince ran into trouble. His kayak capsized. He went into the water. He wasn't wearing a life vest. It was cold. It was 46 degrees. It was windy. It was getting dark. It was a dangerous place to be. Shortly after going into the water, he instructed Angelica to call 911.
Hi, I'm in the Hudson River. My fiance is out in the water. Can you please call anybody?
Okay.
I can't get to him. It's very windy and the waves are coming in and I can't paddle to him. He's getting further and further away from me. He's gonna drown.
The body of Vincent Villafort is yet to be located. The search for him remains ongoing.
On April 29th, the New York State Police, they interrogated her for over 11 hours.
Okay, you're lying to me and you're lying to yourself.
And then they arrested her for the crime of murder in the second degree.
You killed Vinny when you took that plug out to kill him.
The alleged motive for the crime, two life insurance policies totaling $250,000 and a souring relationship.
The police theory of this case is really outrageous. My name is Michael Archer. I'm a forensic scientist. I was retained to assist in Angelica's defense. They say that she pulled a plug, a drain plug from the kayak, and that caused the kayak to sink.
I took it out before.
Yes.
A long time before.
Because you wanted him to die.
Yes.
Do you believe that Angelica Graswald may have given a false confession?
Yes, in that she admitted to a crime that was probably nothing but an accident.
I want to believe she didn't do it, but then again, the police know something that I don't know.
I wanted him dead, and now he's gone.
I'm Peter Van Sant. Tonight on 48 Hours, Death on the Hudson.
Picture yourself alone in the middle of nowhere, and there's somebody following you.
He went on his way, we so thought, and then we went on ours. But in reality, he really followed us up there.
On Deadly Nightmares, the true crime podcast from ID, listen to real stories of ordinary people stalked by serial killers and attackers.
Please, tell me we're not going to die.
Listen to Deadly Nightmares on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
48 Hours is presented by The Jinx, Part 2. On Max. The HBO original documentary series The Jinx returns for part two on Max as the filmmakers untangle the web of Robert Durst's crimes. Listen to the official Jinx podcast to unpack both seasons with brand new behind-the-scenes info and real-time updates about the case. Listen to the official Jinx podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, approximately 7:30, I got a phone call that there was a situation, a capsizing of a kayak.
The waves are very strong. I can see it. Don't see you can.
Okay.
Hold on, baby!
It did get choppy out. 3 to 4 foot swells. I would never be out there.
Jeff Schock is Commodore at the Cornwall Yacht Club in New York's Hudson Valley.
They immediately went into the workboat to help rescue this person.
I can't see him anymore.
You don't see him?
No.
Angelica's call for help first obtained by 48 hours. The sun was setting, the river turning dark.
They pulled her out of the water. They never saw another person in the water.
Vincent Villafort's body had been swallowed up by the river. It all appeared to be a tragic accident. But within days, investigators began hearing disturbing reports that Angelica Graswald seemed oddly unaffected by his death. She agreed to be questioned. Tonight, you'll see the dramatic police interrogation.
You wanted him dead. You're happy.
Where Angelica's own words turned her from a grieving fiancé into a murder suspect.
She was always very nice, bright and clever and perky.
Joel Goss has known Angelica for almost 7 years. He saw Angelica toiling in local restaurants, but knew she had bigger dreams.
Photography. She really wanted to do photography. Absolutely blissful when she was doing that.
She'd always take pictures of the sky or something, you know, flowers. She always found beauty in that.
Sherry Party tended the bar.
I thought that she had a good heart. You know, I don't have friends that don't have good hearts, you know?
She was born Angelica Lipska in Latvia when it was still part of the Soviet Union. When the Iron Curtain lifted, Angelica sought opportunity, a nanny job bringing her to the United States. And by the time she met Vincent Villafor, Angelica had been married and divorced twice. But then, so had he.
Just
Is this love at first sight?
Nearly 11 years older than Angelica, 46-year-old Vincent Villafor was a project manager with the state of New York and one of Sherry's closest friends.
What was it about her personality that he fell in love with?
She's very spunky, like him. They just knew that they wanted to be together.
Amanda Hoistrat was Vincent's roommate at the time.
He loved her. He wanted to be around her all the time.
Within weeks, Angelica moved in.
Did he want to marry Angelica?
Yeah, he was even talking about having kids.
Yeah.
And he hadn't done that before.
One, two, cut, cut.
Known for his barbecue ribs, his dance moves, and his partying, Vincent was as generous and fun as they come.
And Vinny had a lot of friends.
A lot of friends. Like, the party's here, let's take a shot. You guys want a shot? His other little nickname is Vinny Shots.
Like in this photo, on Saturday night, April 18th, Vincent was out to party with his friends. It was just 24 hours before he would go kayaking.
Vinny wanted to stay out having drinks with us because that was like we hadn't gotten together in a couple weeks.
Maybe even go to a strip club. But Angelica wasn't interested.
She wanted to go home. She was quiet. You know, she wasn't really talking to anyone.
Before Vincent took her home, he told Sherry's boyfriend, Monty, he had wanted to go kayaking.
I was like, what are you, crazy? Look behind you. The water was choppy. It was really cold. You can't go in this water. Don't even think about it. You can't talk Vinny out of anything. He's very, you know, he loves adventure.
Angelica herself would take police through the very same Saturday night. In this interrogation, first obtained by 48 hours.
Did you guys get intoxicated? Did you get intoxicated?
Saturday night? Yeah, he did.
Angelica tells the investigator things between her and Vincent were tense. They argued, but then made up.
How did the fight end?
By us going to bed.
The next day, Sunday, April 19th, Vincent was determined, she says, to go kayaking.
We're going.
Year after year, it was something of a spring ritual for the couple, kayaking on the Hudson. The days were warming, but the river still cold. That day, Angelica says Vincent packed their gear. Traffic cameras caught his vehicle heading out.
I had my life vest. I had my purse.
But Angelica says Vincent didn't take a life vest for himself. Their plan this trip was to head to Bannerman's Castle in the middle of the Hudson River, where Angelica would change into something sexy for photos.
Well, I wanted to please him, so.
Just after 4 p.m., they launched, bringing alcohol, the beer seen in this evidence photo. And when they arrived, they headed up these stairs. But because it was very cold and windy, Angelica says they decided to start the journey home around 7 p.m. At first, Angelica says Vincent was enjoying the rough water, playing around.
And then he pulled forward in front of me and said, baby, this is an adventure of a lifetime.
Angelica tells police she knew Vincent's kayak was missing this plug. It's supposed to cover a hole in his kayak. And she says while Vincent's kayak worked fine without it on the way out to the island in a calmer river, now with the waves, she was concerned about him.
The waves are doing their thing up and down like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw that it started to fill up and I knew that the plug wasn't there.
Then Vincent was suddenly in the water, holding this seat cushion that floats, she says, his kayak and a dry bag. Angelica took his paddle and hooked it to her kayak.
He's in the water, I'm back with both paddles.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep the waves pulling me away from him.
All right.
Further and further. And that's when he yells, call 911.
Hold on, baby! I don't see him!
anymore.
Okay, where are you exactly right now?
In the minutes and hours following that 911 call, Angelica's every action would be closely scrutinized. It was Monday morning when Sherry heard the news.
Called Angelica. She picks up. I said, I'm freaking out. I'm like, Angelica, what's going on? Like, is there something wrong? She's like, Vinny's missing.
But Angelica, she says, was bizarrely calm. While divers searched for Vincent's body, Angelica posted this video of herself doing cartwheels.
I thought it was a little insensitive.
She also posted an old picture of herself kayaking in bad weather.
Kind of creepy that she's there alone on a stormy day. It was kind of freaky.
But Joel Goss didn't see Angelica in the same light.
I believe she was absolutely in pain that Vincent was gone.
He says Angelica was really trying to put on a happy, brave face.
So she was very hopeful. There's still a chance. There's still a chance they'll find him. I should put flowers where I last saw him. I should put flowers there.
So, 10 days after her fiancé went missing, Angelica went back with flowers in hand to Bannerman's Island. Police were there too, not to comfort Angelica, but to confront her.
I don't want to admit that I killed him.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay.
But you did.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
A state police marine boat with sonar spent the day in the rain, fog, and choppy water conditions searching for a missing kayaker.
For days on end, the scenic river where Vincent Villafor loved to fish and kayak teemed with rescue boats and helicopters looking for his body.
I prayed every day to help us find him, whether he was alive or not, to bring him home.
Vincent's mother, Mary Ann.
You woke up anxious, you know, hopefully is this the day you're gonna find him.
While search crews combed the waters, Vincent Villafor's loved ones got news that left them reeling.
What first seemed like an accident now appears to be something much more sinister.
Stunningly, police now believe Vincent was murdered on the river and that his fiancée, Angelica Graswald, killed him. Investigators say that when they questioned Angelica on Bannerman's Island, she gave them some extremely incriminating answers.
She made statements that implicated herself in this crime.
Authorities say Angelica admitted she removed the drain plug, like this one, from Vincent's kayak. Investigators believe that caused the boat to fill up with water. They also believe that she tampered with his paddle, removing a ring like this one, which helps keep the paddle securely together. And then, when Vincent went into the water, they say that Angelica took the paddle away from him so he couldn't use it as a flotation device.
It was a complete shock. And I was devastated that she would do that to my son, who was so good to her.
35-year-old Angelica Graswold was charged with second-degree murder and later manslaughter.
If somebody told me this was in her future, I wouldn't have believed it for a second.
Michael Colvin, who lived with Angelica in 2009, cannot imagine that his ex-girlfriend is a killer. But he does remember she had a dark side.
Did Angelica have a temper?
Absolutely. She certainly had an anger streak.
Colvin witnessed that anger right here in his driveway shortly after they broke up. It involved Mietka, the cat they had adopted together.
She insisted on getting the cat and threatened to break into the house if I didn't give it to her. The car's running. I'm getting into the car. She laid down just like this in the driveway, flat, like this. Give me the cat. Give me the cat. To which, of course, finally at this point, she's laying down in my driveway. I'm not going to run her over. So I gave the cat to her. The woman definitely has a way of reacting when she feels threatened. There's no question about that.
Colvin's wife, Heather.
And to lay behind the car, to threaten to break in, and you don't even have a place to house this cat. That's the extreme side, I think.
Vincent's friend, Sherry Party, says Angelica could violently turn on him when she was drunk.
She would smack him so hard across his face, and he would just look at her and be like, you would not get mad. And she'd do it again, and she'd do it again.
Just 2 weeks before his kayak capsized, Amanda Hoistrat says Vince texted her, expressing some doubts about his relationship with Angelica.
You know, he didn't think it was going to work.
But the very next day, she says, he changed his mind.
He's like, oh, well, she must be really afraid of losing me because she wants me to stay home and we're going to make up.
Do you think he ever expressed that to Angelica, that maybe we're having some problems here, maybe we shouldn't do this?
Yeah,
I think so.
In fact, in the 11-hour interrogation, Angelica told police they were having problems. She said Vincent was pressuring her for things she wasn't comfortable with.
He pushed for everything. He pushed for sex, for sexual stuff.
Okay. He always wanted sex. Yeah. You could do sexual things.
Well, yeah. Okay. He wanted threesomes, porn, everything. Okay.
Angelica said they fought about it.
How did it make you feel?
Angry. I was angry.
Very angry?
Yeah.
And admitted that she often felt trapped in the relationship, sometimes wishing Vincent was dead.
Why did you want him to die? How could you best put it?
I wanted to be free. As startling as that admission was, Angelica made even more disturbing comments to investigators.
And you feel happy and relieved that it happened, that he's dead?
Yes.
When you watched him in the water, was a part of you saying, my worries are going away now, and I'm free? And were you almost
euphoric
that he was going to be gone?
I do.
You felt that way?
Still do.
Along with anger, prosecutors say Angelica's other motive for murder was money. Angelica stood to gain $250,000 from two of Vincent's life insurance policies, a financial windfall for someone who had no money of her own.
Did you really admit those things that prosecutors said in court?
Angelica Graswold pleaded not guilty and was now on her way to jail to await trial. Her bond, $9 million. Prosecutors considered the Latvian native a serious flight risk, and a judge agreed.
It's like, how dare you feel that you can play God to decide when somebody's time is up?
But defense expert Michael Archer says Angelica's alleged confession during that lengthy interrogation is meaningless. He says the forensic evidence tells the true story.
Well, I haven't seen all the evidence, but the evidence I've seen certainly does not support a homicide. This is, by all accounts, a tragic accident.
And Archer says he can prove what really caused Vincent's kayak to capsize.
Fired up, skipper, and let's go.
Peter, come look at how our wake fills this boat.
dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge premieres April 17th, streaming only on Hulu.
June's Journey is a fascinating hidden object mystery gaming app where you'll play as June Parker, tasked with a daunting obligation: solve your sister's murder. Set in the 1920s, the era of glitz and glam, this family mystery is one for the ages. Everyone's a suspect until your investigation determines otherwise. The clues are all around you, hidden within tricky twists and turns. You'll collect detailed information about each character in your photo album, where you'll comb over every detail. You can even join a detectives club to chat and play with others or against them in the detectives league. With hundreds of puzzles to solve, you should probably get started today. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
The water is somewhere around 46 degrees at the warmest. You know, this is very cold water. It's frigid water. It's getting dark. It's windy. The waves are 3 to 5 feet high. He has no life vest on, and he has some level of impairment by alcohol. All of those fit that this is an accidental death.
Forensic scientist Michael Archer grew up in the Hudson Valley and knows this beautiful river can be treacherous.
I'm not gonna blame Mr. Viaforn, but he certainly wasn't as cautious as he should have been.
So what's your plan for today?
Sure, so we have the gentleman who operates the kayak.
Archer, working for the defense, has spent months examining the prosecutor's evidence against Angelica.
Buddy, how much do you weigh?
About 180, 185.
So Peter, here's a gentleman who's significantly smaller than Mr. Viafore, and I just want you to see how low that kayak is in the water. And I'm not gonna say this water's like glass, but it's pretty calm today.
Archer asked Buddy Bainey of Mountaintops Outfitters to paddle out on the Hudson River in the same model kayak as Vincent Viafore did. Bainey is an experienced kayaker.
If you were in rougher water, would you be struggling to remain upright?
Absolutely, yeah. Just the wake from that boat had me a little tipsy, a little nervous at one point. It's definitely more designed for, small ponds, lakes, things that, you know, water that's generally calm all the time.
Buddy paddled from Bannerman's Island to the area where Vincent and Angelica launched, about a mile away, with the drain plug open. Remember, Angelica is accused of removing the plug from Vincent's kayak.
Do you feel the boat is filling with water because the plug is out?
If there's any water getting in there at all, it's very minimal. I don't feel it. I don't notice it. I don't see anything.
That may sound surprising until you take a closer look.
This is the kayak. This photo is taken by the New York State Police.
This is the kayak that Vinny was in.
Yes, that Mr. Viafore was in. So he's sitting here. The plug is on the top of the boat. And the point of the plug...
Wait a minute. The plug is on the top of the boat.
The plug is on the top of the boat.
Well, how can it fill up with water if the plug is on top?
It doesn't.
What's more...
The plug is about the size of my pinky.
About this big?
About
this
that
big around?
Yes.
What's funny is when the case first came about, I had believed also that the drain plug was in the bottom of the kayak.
Jeff Chartier is one of Angelica's defense attorneys. He says the Fusion 124 model kayak was designed with the plug on top, so once back on land, it can be easily flipped and drained.
Where do you believe the water actually came into this boat?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. And look at this big giant hole.
This is what led to the tragedy.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
That's the defense theory. And while Archer can't recreate the exact conditions of Vincent's drowning, he did design an experiment to prove the defense's point.
We're going to restore this kayak to the way Vince used it that day on April 19th.
Strapping the kayak to the back of a boat and then creating an artificial wave.
With the plug out.
The plug out.
And the cockpit area here wide open.
We're going to see how much of that wake comes in and how much water gets in the cockpit area and how much water gets in the plug area.
Got the plug? Fire it up, skipper, and let's go.
Peter, come look at how our wake fills this boat.
And that was about a 3-footer coming into this. And that's
absolutely
just, that's just one wave
that's
coming
one
in here. Take a look at this. This looks to me to be a quarter full with just one wave.
Archer then devised a test to see how much water could actually enter the kayak through that tiny hole.
So Peter, what I want to do is I'm going to dry the boat out. So we put a cockpit seal over top. We've sealed up the cockpit area, we've taped it up so it's on there good, it's tight, and we've left the plug open. And we're gonna have the water come over the kayak and see just how much water goes into the plug.
Sounds good. Let's check it out and see how much water we got inside. What do you see?
There's not that much, Peter. Let's get that 5-gallon bucket, see if we can fill it up. Have an empty water bottle.
Nice and slow.
Sure. This bottle is 16.9 ounces.
That's
less than an ounce.
It?
That's it.
What does this tell you?
That for what wouldn't fill a shot glass, a woman sitting in jail being charged with a murder.
But Angelica is also accused of tampering with Vincent's paddle, removing this ring that police believe holds the two sides of the paddle together. Archer asked Buddy to paddle the journey with the ring removed.
How is it holding up?
It's fine, yeah.
No problem?
No problem.
You don't need the ring to use the paddle.
The other damning allegation against Angelica is that she took the paddle from Vincent after he went into the river, denying him something to hang on to. But could it have saved his life?
I've taped a 4-pound brick to the paddle, and we're going to see whether or not it sinks or if it floats. If it sinks with a 4-pound brick attached, it's certainly not going to support a full-grown man. And there you have it. Another one of their theories that just doesn't hold water.
But what this forensic scientist can't explain is what Angelica said to police. But 48 Hours spoke with an interrogation expert who believes he can.
You haven't been hired by the defense team, correct?
No, not at all.
Do you believe that Angelica Graswald may have given a false confession?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is your typical police-style interrogation room. Four walls, no windows, and a door. But very sparse, very bare, no clocks, nothing to distract you.
Jim Trainum knows a lot about interrogation rooms.
We want to get you into our environment so that we have control over the situation.
For 27 years, the former detective for the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department conducted hundreds of interviews and interrogations. But there's one interrogation that still haunts him, when he unwittingly got an innocent woman to confess to murder. She later sued him and the police department.
We get the person to believe, at least temporarily, that it's in their best interest to tell us what we want to hear. Anybody can fall victim to it. and every single person can potentially give a false confession.
Trainum is now considered a national expert on false confessions, teaching, writing, and testifying in high-profile cases. We asked him to review the case against Angelica.
And you come in with no bias.
I have no dog in this fight.
He watched every moment of Angelica's 11-hour interrogation.
Would you use this to teach other cops how to do a proper interrogation of a suspect?
I would use it to teach them how not to.
Trainum's investigation began with this document, first obtained by 48 Hours, a record of what Angelica allegedly told investigators on Bannerman's Island.
You've read this document. Any red flags there?
A lot of red flags.
According to this, Angelica essentially admits tampering with Vincent's paddle and the drain plug to kill him. What did you do to make him drown, they ask? I took the plug out of his kayak, she answers.
Precise, perfect questions, precise, incriminating answers from Angelica.
Right.
And you would expect the video interrogation of Angelica to mirror that, but it doesn't.
If you compare the statement, it doesn't match the video at all.
Police took Angelica from the island and read her Miranda rights, the right to remain silent and have a lawyer. They tried over and over to get her to repeat on camera what she supposedly told them on the island.
What could you have done physically that caused him to drown? And let's see if you remember what you told me. You said, by taking the plug out of the kayak and taking the paddle away from him. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, but I didn't intend to have it happen that way.
So there's definitely clear signs of manipulation here. They want a specific answer from her.
The investigator tries a gentle approach.
It's therapy for you, and you'll feel better.
The way that they approached her, this is therapy. We're just trying to get to the bottom of this. This is going to help you.
Angelica reveals intimate details of her life, claiming Vincent demanded that she participate in a threesome, a demand that made her angry.
By the way he treated you, you taking that plug out was a reaction of
the way he
treated you, right?
They've been trying to establish motive the entire time. They're asking numerous leading questions. They're telling her the direction that they want the answer to go. They're often giving her the answer.
That was almost like a way to get back at him?
Kind of, yeah.
You see where they think that they have her, that they have an admission. And then three or four, you know, questions down the road, she's going, no, I didn't want him dead.
You watched him drown. I know it's difficult. I know.
No, I didn't just watch him drown. I tried to do something about it.
A second investigator comes in.
Typically, this is done because the first interrogator is getting nowhere. And as you'll see, he's more the bad cop, and the first guy is more the good cop.
You killed him.
Repeatedly trying to get her to own what he believes she did.
When did you in your mind make a decision, Benny needs to die, and I'm going to take some steps to make sure that happens?
Be free.
And be free. And be out of this controlling, possessive relationship.
I wasn't thinking that at all.
What did you want that day?
That day, I wanted to be free.
And you wanted him to die?
If you put it that way.
I'll put it that way. What's the answer? You know what the answer is. What's the answer, Angelica?
I wanted him.
And that would set you free.
I didn't want him, like, gone.
To them, that, you know, that gone part meant you wanted him dead. And I think she means something totally different when she's saying it. She's using the term gone as out of the relationship.
Analyzing this video, Trainum believes the investigators had tunnel vision. He says their entire case is built on a false premise.
They think that they know the truth.
That she pulled a plug in his kayak and it caused it to flood with water. But Trainum says the investigators are clearly confused, believing the drain plug is on the bottom of the kayak when it's on the top.
Where does that plug go on the kayak?
It goes all the way to the back and drains it.
Like underneath it?
No.
No?
He thinks it's on the bottom.
Yes, and in fact, later on, He again brings it up.
And then it's underneath it?
No.
No, it's on top of it.
It's on top.
I think a good defense attorney could have a field day with this. If that plug being out did not cause that kayak to fill up with water, it doesn't mean a damn thing.
What's more, Angelica insists she removed the plug months before the April incident, in the winter, when her kitten, seen here in Vincent's kayak, was playing with it.
It doesn't help their case if she took out that plug so long ago.
If she's telling the truth, Trainum asserts, it's hard to argue she planned to kill him.
When did you take it out on Sunday?
I did not take it out on Sunday. The plug was already out.
The reality is, you took that plug out because you wanted to kill him. You wanted him to be dead. You wanted to be free.
I took it out before.
Yes.
A long time before.
Because you wanted him to die.
Yes. At some point, yes.
So in essence, this is exactly what we're saying, is we're like talking semantics.
They've been twisting her responses.
But hours into the interrogation, Angelica finally sort of agrees with them.
It took the plug out April.
April, the month the tragedy occurred. Trainum says, don't trust that.
Do you believe that every person has a breaking point in an interrogation?
Oh, absolutely.
Repeatedly throughout the long interrogation, Angelica says she needs to go care for her beloved cat.
So why don't we wrap the shelter and I need to see the cat?
She's worried about her cat. She's going to agree to their narrative in order for her to get out of there.
Ann Trainum says she does just that.
By taking that plug out, you killed Benny, correct?
Correct.
And you wanted that to happen, correct? And you feel happy and relieved that it happened, that he's dead.
Angelica has now been in this room almost 6 hours.
You killed Vinny, right? No, I want you to tell me the truth.
I am telling you the
truth. What is the answer to that question?
I didn't want him.
Angelica, what is the true answer to that question?
All right, you need it. Statement.
What is it?
I wanted him dead, and now he's gone. And I'm okay with it.
I think she's done. She's now getting more and more desperate to get out of that room.
I sense the more you watch this, the more you're becoming convinced this is a false confession.
Yes. To me, this is a non-crime. This is an accident that they made into a criminal offense because of their gut feelings, because of her not acting appropriately.
48 Hours wanted to question prosecutors about the allegation that the state's case may be founded on a false confession.
A spokesman said no comment will be made before trial.
Angelica, do you miss Vincent?
Should Angelica Groswald be in a jail right now as we speak?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car or a house. It's the four wheels that get you where you're going and the four walls that welcome you home. When you combine auto and home insurance with Amica, we'll help protect it all. And the more you cover, the more you can save. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Amanda Hoistrat and Sherry Party have been living a life of torment since the terrible day their friend went missing.
The fact that it was so mysterious and nobody could figure it out, and we were wishful thinking and going on searches for him and looking for him, it was like we didn't have a sense of peace.
We haven't had that closure that people get when you lose somebody, you know. We haven't had that.
And calling the state police for any news became a sad routine for Vincent's mom, Mary Ann.
I talked to the state police a couple of times a week. It was hard. We were all praying.
On Saturday morning, May 23rd, 2015, the agonizing wait came to an end.
The victim's body was recovered Saturday, a month after kayaker Vincent Villafor went missing on the Hudson River.
I was both sad and happy. Sad that there was no hope, and happy that at least we found him and can bring him home.
Vincent Villafor's body was found by a boater about a mile downstream from Bannerman's Island.
I had an anxiety attack. I had a panic attack. It was bittersweet.
Angelica Graswald's defense team is hopeful that once an autopsy is performed, the murder charge against her will be dropped.
Angelica, how are you doing?
The state police desperately need this to be a homicide to support their murder charge. And I don't expect her to rule this a homicide because there's no evidence to support that this is a homicide.
But just weeks later, the medical examiner's report confirmed that Vincent Villafor died by drowning, and that he had a blood alcohol level of 0.06, which is considered being impaired. Yet the manner of death was ruled a homicide, the medical examiner noting that the drain plug had been intentionally removed. Angelica's lead defense attorney, Richard Portali, insists that Angelica is not to blame here.
Mr. Villafor was responsible for that kayak, and you know, you're the captain of your own ship, and he left Plum Point on April 19th, and he had no life vest. He knew what the temperature of that water was, and so he was responsible for his conduct on that day.
Vincent's friends are not really sure what to think.
You guys, could this be a tragic mistake, a tragic accident?
Anything's possible. I mean, I don't have enough information to even make that decision. You know, that's what's so frustrating.
I don't know the right or wrong answer. Like, everything is looking like she did do it. That's where I'm torn. I don't know.
Vincent's mother, however, is less conflicted.
I do not believe that this was an accident. Well, I'd like to see justice done for Vinny, as I guess any parent would for their child. His birthday is August 22nd. He would have been 47 years old.
His life was cut too short.
And she is now forced to honor her son's birthday at his grave.
And I know that we'll see each other again one day. And I look forward to that day.
No matter how this plays out in court, Vincent's loved ones have vowed to keep his memory and spirit alive.
We had so many memories together, just everywhere, just like little things that remind me of him. And I sometimes just laugh to myself, you know, just thinking about him and just thinking about the fun times that we had. So I feel happy that I got to have 6 years with him.
Angelica has been in jail for more than 4 months. Her trial is expected to begin spring 2016. Angelica's family says they are giving their life savings to help pay for her defense.
If you like 48 Hours, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, Tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
Join me, 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty, on my podcast, My Life of Crime, as I take on true crime investigations like no other. This season, I'm looking into the secrets within families, cutting straight to the evidence and talking to the people directly involved. Enjoy My Life of Crime on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Wondery Plus.